In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Dear saints, you do not belong to your sin. You do not belong to your guilt. You do not belong to death or Satan. You do not belong to sickness or worry or anxiety. Worthy is the Lamb whose death has made you his. That is who you belong to, dear saints. And yet, we know this. And yet, who of us has never asked the question, why me? Why am I receiving this suffering? How am I going to get through this? What is going to happen to me? Why me? This is a question that I'm sure Abraham asked. Our sermon text is from Genesis chapter 22, our Old Testament reading. You have your bulletins right there in front of you. You pull that out. That first reading, Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was asked to take his son, his only son, whom he loves, and to sacrifice him, to kill him, to put wood on him, to strap him down, to put the gasoline on, and to light the fire. Why me? And yet, perhaps one of the most striking things about this text is found in the very first few words of this, of Genesis chapter 22. It is that this is not coming from the hand of the devil. This isn't coming from the hand of Satan. This isn't a temptation. It is a test. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains on which I shall tell you. It is a test. It is not a temptation. And though in our eyes, I don't think we can tell the difference between the two. I really don't. But it is the devil who tempts. We pray every Lord's Prayer, deliver me from temptation. But it is God who tests. So it all depends on whose hand it is coming from. If it is coming from the hand of God, it is a test. If it is coming from the hand of Satan, it is a temptation. And the results are completely different as well. The desired results. For a temptation wishes to draw you away from God. It wishes to draw you more into the world, more into himself. It wishes to draw you more into leaning on your own understanding. Whereas a test does, it is, the desire is completely the opposite. It is not to drive you further from God, but it is rather to draw you into his own arms. It is rather to realize that you have nothing to offer him, and that you have nothing to rely on except for his mercy and his love and his voice and his righteousness and his purity. A test wishes to strengthen your faith, and a temptation wishes to destroy your faith. I'm not a blacksmith. I don't know if you know this about me. I don't know much about metals and whatnot, but I do know that Scripture uses this imagery, and so it is It is an imagery in which we should understand too. That is the precious metal. The precious metal is not destroyed when it is fed into a fire. It is, in fact, refined. And that is what a test is to do to our faith. When our Lord is leading us into the fire, it is not ever meant to destroy our faith, but it is, in fact, to refine it. I'm not a blacksmith, and I especially don't know about this next imagery, especially since we've had kids. But Scripture also uses this image of exercise. And you work a muscle, and you tear it, and it hurts, but you're not working to destroy it. You're working to strengthen it. So what tests, dear saints, what tests are you going through right now? Know the desired result. To lean not on your own understanding, but to cling firmly to our Lord's promise. For he wishes to not push you away. He wishes, and in fact, to draw you into himself. And I want you to notice Abraham's reaction to this, because this is so important for us. Verse 2, God says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain of which I shall tell you." And I think if I were writing Scripture, and you can thank the Lord that I'm not, but I think if I were writing it, the next verse would go something like this. It would go, "So Abraham felt burdened." Abraham was worried. Abraham was overcome with anxiety. Abraham felt afraid. Or even it could be the opposite. Abraham felt confident. But you notice it doesn't say anything like that. It does not mention anything of which Abraham felt. Because in the midst of a test, emotions can be our worst enemy. Emotions are a wonderful thing. But in the midst of a test, emotions wish for us to doubt. They are so often the complete opposite of the promises and the commands of our Lord. They are so often contrary to that which our Lord says. You may not feel guilty. You may not feel ashamed. And yet, dear saints, we certainly might need to. When you leave here, you might not feel uplifted. You might not feel forgiven. But that is not true. You are forgiven. Your Jesus died for you. In the midst of a test, you might feel forsaken. And nothing is further from that truth. In the midst of a test, we do not cling to the emotions. We cling to the commands and promises of our God, which says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And if there's another enemy that is the most difficult thing to grasp in the midst of a test outside of emotions, it is perhaps what Abraham encounters next. Verse 3, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering. Abraham lifted up for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him." And this is the part. "On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes." That is, God gives him a test. And then he makes him wait. Do you ever think time is an enemy? When someone dies whom you love, it's hard. But then you're surrounded by your friends. Then you're surrounded by your family. And maybe you're not feeling forsaken. But then a month goes by. 6 months go by. A year goes by. 10 years go by. And you're still sad. It is easy to say, I'm all right, a couple days after. But as time goes by, it's much more difficult. Or you lose your job. And you say a week after you lose your job, the Lord will provide. A month after you lose your job, the Lord will provide. 8 months after you lose your job, and you're beginning if the Lord is going to provide. 2 years after you haven't, and you're beginning to wonder. Or you have a sickness. And you say, I know the Lord is with me. But then that sickness clings. Then that sickness makes you worse. You are getting worse. You are not getting better. And you begin to wonder. One of the best words that can describe faith in one word is the word wait. The Psalms are always calling us to wait for patience. Children don't like to be patient. I don't like to be patient. And in the midst of a test, that is perhaps the hardest thing. We've asked, and now the only thing left to do is to wait. So God tests Abraham, and he doesn't say, go sacrifice your son right now. Go sacrifice your son in 3 days. He makes him travel. But here is your hope, dear saints. This entire story has words that are mentioned more than once. And Scripture always does this for a reason. When it repeats things, it's trying to emphasize a point. And there is one word in there that is repeated. In these 15 verses, there is one word that is repeated 10 times. And that is the word son. Take your son, your only son, and his son Isaac. Isaac, his son. Abraham, my son. My son, his son. It's repeated 10 different times. And there is another word that is repeated 3 different times. And that is the word provide. It is as if our Lord is telling you in the midst of a test, in the midst of trials, that he who provides his son, how much more will he graciously give you all good things? He has provided. He has provided us with a greater gift. He has provided us with our Lord's death. He has provided us with forgiveness. He has provided us with the promise of his peace and his presence. He has provided us with the food of his body and his blood. He has provided us with washing to regenerate us, to give us new birth. He has promised us the greater things. How much more will he provide for us in the midst of our trials? When Scripture repeats something, we do well to pay attention. And in the midst of your trial, Know that the Lord has provided his son instead of you. That is one of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture, that word, instead. The Lord had two options. He could have given us into his wrath. He could have left us to our own devices. He could have let our sins be on us. Or he could have let his son live. And you know with which he chose. He chose to dump his wrath on Jesus instead of you. He chose to let Jesus suffer death instead of you. He chose to forsake his son instead of you. And that is the promise in which you cling to in the midst of every trial. That is the promise in which you cling to every time you ask that question, why me? And there are three things, real quick. Three points in which you have a promise when you ask this question, why me? First, that your Jesus was faithful in every trial, even when you fail. Second, that God wishes to take this trial to strengthen your faith in him, to bring you to himself. And the third thing is that the trial in which you go through might provide an example for someone else later. That is your peace, dear saints. In his righteousness and forgiveness we rest. Amen.